Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's nice to be with you. And yes, I came from Vancouver. Should I preach on this here or there? Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, okay, wherever I want. It's good. It's good. Nice to see you. And oh, I forgot. No wonder. And I gotta fix it. Is that okay? Good. Yeah, thank you to Chairman to read the passage from the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Actually, this story talks about that talks about how Joshua led the Israelites cross the River Jordan. It's a very familiar story. Probably every one of you have heard about this story. I'm going to talk about I'm not going to the details because it's a really long passage. It's actually starting from chapter 1 and all the way to chapter 4, except chapter 2 talks about the Rahab, and other than that, it talks about the first part of the book of Joshua, talks about how the Israelites being led by Joshua to cross the River Jordan. Why I choose this passage? Because through this incidents, we learn a lot from this story. First of all, I want to ask you a question. What is your impression about Joshua? Now, remember that at that time, Joshua was leading at least 2 million people, Israelites, cross the River Jordan. Okay, so what do you think Joshua is? Joshua is a great hero, a great warrior of Israelites, right? He must be a very talented and great leader, right? Do you have that impression? Yes, according to the chairperson just read the passage, it sounds like that he's very much like a general or, a high-ranking leading these, Israelites. But if you look at the first chapter, the first few verses that told you who Joshua was. Now, I want to read to you the first chapter of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to you, to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea of the west, no one will be able to stand up against you all the day of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, for the first few verses told you who this Joshua was. First of all, said Joshua, he's the son of Nun. Okay, so Joshua's father is called Nun, and N-U-N in English. And also Moses' aide. If you read other translations, versions, you'll see that he is a servant. He's a servant of Moses. He's nobody. He's not a great leader, nor he's a great warrior. He's just a servant that helping Moses, and that's all, okay? So he was not somebody that, the great leader of Israelites. Okay, and not only this, he said, the first verse is that, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, what do you think that when the Lord talked to Joshua, said, my servant Moses, he's dead. If I were Joseph, if I were Joshua, I would start to wonder, hey Lord, why did you take Moses away at this very critical time? Because at that time, that was they are about to cross the River Jordan, right? And Moses was the great leader. Everybody looked up to him, and at this very important moment, you took away Moses. If I were Joshua, I would challenge the Lord. hey, Lord, we have been wandering in the wilderness for over 40 years. You know, Moses' life is in your hand. You can keep him for another 2 months. And after we cross the River Jordan, then you can, you know, you can take him away. But the Lord took away Moses at this time. Well, this was a really bad timing for Joshua. And Joshua was just a nobody. Who will lead these Israelites? Tell me. Right? And not only this, if you look at chapter 1, the verse 6, okay, and the Lord said, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefather to give them. Okay, that's verse 6. And verse 7, the Lord said, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you do, wherever you go. And then you skip to verse 9. Okay, when you go to verse 9, the Lord said to Joshua, he said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you whenever you go. Okay, so verse 6, verse 7, verse 9. Okay, first of all, this is not a continuous statement. Okay, it doesn't mean that the Lord is telling Moses, Joshua, hey, be strong and courageous. And hey, be very strong and very courageous. And hey, just wait a minute. Haven't I commanded you? So da-da-da-da-da. It's not that. It's just a record of what the Lord has told Joshua. Okay, not necessarily in a continuous statement. Okay, so verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9, these three verses told us that the Lord told Joshua that, hey, first of all, the first verse 6 is be strong and courageous. And after a while, the Lord told Joshua, be very strong and courageous. And when you go to verse 9, after, you know, some time, the Lord told Joshua, haven't I not commanded you? Can you tell these three, the differences of these three verses? Okay, it's just like my son now is 36 years old, when he was a little kid, and he likes to play the, you know, computer games. Choo, choo, choo. You know, those days, the computer game was so primitive. It's just like the tick, 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 tock, tick, tock, something like that. Okay, but he was so much into it. And so he enjoyed this computer game. And during dinner time, we always yell to my son, hey, Matthew, come down, because his room is upstairs. Come down, it's supper time. Come on. And, you know, my son said, okay, yeah, I'm coming. And after a few minutes, he's not. He's still upstairs playing his computer game. And said, hey, Matthew, come on, hurry up. You know, the din is all set. We're waiting for you. Okay, Dad, I'm coming. Another 10 minutes gone. He's still there playing his computer game. And then what will you do? He said, oh, come on, Matthew. If you don't come down, I will take off your dinner. Okay? So it's getting more serious. It's very much like that. So you can understand who this Joshua was. Well, when the Lord said, be strong and courageous, they're telling you that he's neither strong nor courageous. Okay? After a while, then he said, be very strong and courageous. That means after a while, then the Lord said, hey, you're still, you know, you're just like a chicken. Come on, be very strong. And after a while, haven't I told you? Be strong and courageous. Right? So this is the kind how Joshua was. And so we'll ask the question. There are 2 million Israelites at that time. Okay, they set their camp on the eastern side of River Jordan. Okay, waiting to cross the River Jordan. Okay, and there are tribe leaders. There are 12 tribes, right? And each tribe had their own leader. So why did God choose this Joshua to be the leader of Israel? He was just a servant of Moses. Why didn't he choose those tribal leaders? There are a lot of great warriors. They are fighters. They are well experienced. They are great leaders. But God didn't choose them. He just chose Joshua. So oftentimes we think, hey, God is really funny. There are a lot of good people you can choose. Why you choose me? Okay, if you go to skip chapter 2, you go to chapter 3, you'll see that the tone of Joshua is totally different than, you know, a totally different man. Now, he really was a great leader, right? And it's very much like in our experience serving in a church. We always ask the question, why you choose me? There are a lot of great leaders. They are brothers and sisters. They're very gifted. Why didn't you choose them? Why do you choose me? And God chose Joshua for one purpose. That is to let them know that God performs miracles after miracles. God chooses people not based on how good you are, what kind of credentials you have, what college you graduated from, or how many years experience you have been serving in the church. No, not all this. God just asks one thing, your humbleness and you're willing to learn. You're willing to submit yourself to the Lord. And second question we'll ask, just like I asked, I shared earlier, why at this moment? Why at this moment you took away Moses? As I said, you know, there are 40 years we have been wandering in the wilderness. You can spare Moses' life for another 2 months. Then that will be a lot easier, even easier for my, you know, for Joshua's leadership. But God didn't do that. At God's time, he gave the best timing to choose the right person. And our timing is always not the right timing. We thought this was the right timing, but actually it turned out it's not. Now, if I choose another incident, just like the chairperson just has read, and chapter 3. The Bible gives very detailed description of how they crossed the River Jordan. I repeat this. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went up ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage. All during harvest. That was during harvest time. Okay. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Okay, now, I want to draw your attention to this few words. That was, now the Jordan is at flood stage during harvest. So if you have been to Israel, like the Middle East, probably with a tour guide, they will you know, put you on the tour bus, and after visiting Jordan, they will cross the Jordan River, okay, and to the to Jericho, to the west side, west bank, we call it, okay. And I've been there, and today the tour bus, you know, with about 30 some tourists, and we crossed the River Jordan, the bridge was a tiny bridge, not that big bridge, because the river itself is a very narrow river. It only takes you about 15 seconds to cross the river. Okay, so it's very, very narrow. But many thousand years ago, at that time, here it says that during flood stage, the archaeologists have, you know, done some studying, and it said that during flood stage, at those days, probably the river will be about 1 kilometer wide. Okay, so that means the water raised, the water level raised up, and flood across the both sides of the bank. So it was, the water is deep, and the water flows very fast, and they got across at this time. What time? It's during flood stage. If you were one of the Israelites, you will ask God, hey, as I said, we have been 40 years in the wilderness. Why you choose at the flood stage when it's high tide and cross the river? Why didn't you choose when it's low tide, when it's not at a harvest stage, harvest time? Then the water level will, you know, will probably a lot lower, and the water will not flood over the two sides of the banks. But It's very strange. God chose them, chose a time, picked this time to cross the river. It was at high tide. So God's time is totally different from what you think. In our, you know, ministry, in our belief, God chose you to serve. God chose you to commit yourself to the Lord at His timing, not at your timing. Let me tell you a little story about myself. As the chairperson has introduced, that I've been working and serving as a director in the Far East Broadcasting. And Far East Broadcasting Company has established about 74 years ago. Okay, that was right after the Second World War. And I was responsible for broadcasting gospel message to China. Okay, we have over 155 languages all over the world, and we broadcast the Word of God to Ethiopia, to Africa, I mean, and to all part of the world, okay, to the third world country, to the communist country, to the Islamic country, and it's been 70-some years. And after I graduated from universities in Saskatoon, way back in 1978, that was way before you were born, probably, right, for most of you. And after I you know, my major was in mining engineering. So I wanted to be an engineer. And my dad wants me to be an engineer. So I finished my study, and because at that time I was holding a student visa, so I have to go back to Hong Kong, okay, and reapply for a land immigrant back to Canada. And at that time, I at 1975, during the Winter Conference, okay, in Canada, we have the Eastern Winter Conference, East Side, right? And in West, we have the West Side Winter Conference. And I joined the West Side Winter Conference because I was studying in University of Saskatchewan. And I remember that evening, the speaker was Thomas Wang. And he made a challenge to the delegates and make an altar call. He said, for those who want to commit themselves full-time in the ministry, put up your hand. And I was just a little student, okay? At that time, I was in the year three in the university. I saw my girlfriend today, she's my wife, she put up her hand. So I said, oh, she put up her hand. So I put up my hand. I don't know what's going on, but I just put up my hand, okay? So I said, I committed to the Lord, okay? It's a very noble task. So, and after then, the speaker asked us to come over, come to the front, and we'll have a form for you to fill. And actually, it was a card in a heart shape, okay? You know, those dedicated form, okay, that asked you to fill in your name and your background and at that time, there was no cell phone. And how can we contact you, da-da-da-da-da. And both Angela, now my wife, she filled her form and I filled my form. And after then, we give it back to the committee, to the Winter Conference committee, and they follow up all these cards. So after I graduated, that was at 1978, I went back to Hong Kong, and I got an interview in an engineering firm. That's the only engineering firm, mining engineering firm in Hong Kong. Okay, it's called the Marine Precast. So I was passed at the interview, and they recruited me as an engineer. So I was so happy that day. Okay, it was a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I was so happy and excited. Finally, I can be an engineer. Okay, I can start my career. And right at that moment, my fiance, that's my wife now, she called me. She said, hey, Edwin, I was being called by somebody called Kenneth Lowe and from the Far East Broadcasting. He said, there is a job offer for me, but I'm working in a hospital as a scientist research. So, but anyway, I need to see him. So I don't know where it is in Hong Kong, in Dai Kok Choy, I don't even know what it is, okay? So I'll go with you. So we both appear at the Far East Broadcasting Hong Kong. And the interviewer was the director of Far East Broadcasting in Hong Kong. And he looked at this girl, oh, Angela, you feel this card, right? And you are committed full-time in the ministry. Now I have an opening for you. Are you willing to join? And my fiance said, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Lo, I'm working in a hospital as a scientist research. I cannot quit my job. How about that? This is my boyfriend. I was sitting behind her. well, he may be available. Okay. And I was, oh, that's really bad. Okay. And so I kind of low asked, what is his name? And I said, I'm Edwin Sang. Oh, Edwin Sang, I have your card too. You're the next one. Okay. And so he dug out my heart-shaped response card. You're Edwin Sang. I have a position we have to recruit somebody who know music and electronics and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, long story short. And I said, oh, Pastor Ken, you know, I just got a job offer this afternoon, just a few hours ago, and I promised that I will go as an engineer. How about that? I know I commit myself full-time, okay, but this is not the right time for me. How about that? I'll be an engineer for 2 years. And after 2 years, I come to you again. And if you want me, then let me enjoy being an engineer. Okay, after all 4 years, you know, education. My dad wants me to be an engineer, come on. And Pastor Lo said, well, it is your problem, it's not my problem. I have a job offer for you, okay? Whether you want to join us, you respond to the Lord, okay? You put up your hand, said you want to commit full time. And now the Lord said, we have an opening, we need you. Okay, do you want to come? It's your response. And I was like the young man who, you know, went to Jesus at the nighttime and asked, you know, how can I have, how can I be a good, you know, good man? And Jesus said that you need to be reborn again, right? Remember that little story? And that, but you have to give half of your, you know, half of what you have. And finally, the young man was sadly, you know, go away. And in Chinese, he said, bei bei ngoi ngoi dik. Okay, sadly, he left. And I was like that young man. Sadly, I left FEBC because I said, I want to be an engineer. Okay. And on the way home, my fiance, Angela, said, hey, Edwin, you just start your career, want to be an engineer. What do you have now? I said, I have nothing. I just have an ambitions. I just want to have my career. He said, yes, I know you have nothing. You have nothing and you don't want to give to the Lord. Imagine after 2 years, you have a lot of things. You have your name, you have your career. Do you think you are willing to give up for the Lord? I said, oh yeah, never thought about that. So after a short conversation, I decided to call Pastor Lo. I said, Pastor Kendall, I'm willing to join FEBC. Okay, so for me, it sounds like it is not the right time. For my dad, he was really mad at me. I spent that much money on you to finish your education, and now you're telling me that you want to go for a full-time ministry. And since then, it's been 40 years since I joined FEBC, and that's my only job after I graduated. I was not even being trained as a broadcaster. But God used somebody that has no experience at all. My Cantonese is not really that great. Okay, a lot of accent, okay? Well, we call it, in Chinese, we call it lan yam. I don't know if you understand, okay? So it's not accurate Cantonese. And I can't even speak Mandarin. But God used me in this ministry. Now, this is a 39th year in FEBC. So God's timing is totally out of my imagination. It's always miracles after miracles. Okay, now, I got to rush a little bit because running out of time. And from these two incidents, we know that God chose the one that he thinks that you are capable. When God gave you the gift, when God used you, and you turn to him with a humble heart, okay, and willing to submit yourself. And secondly, God's timing is always different from your timing, okay? You think this is the right time, but the Lord said, no, it is not. But what I need from you is total surrender. And after I joined Far East Broadcasting as a full-time minister, I remember way back at 1975, I signed my name on the heart, you know, commitment card or something like that. It's very much like, at that time, the Reverend Wong said, now, you sign your name there, it's very much like you're writing a check to the Lord. The check is like this. The amount, Edwin Sang, yourself, my life, my career, that is the amount. And payable to the Lord, our God. And then at the bottom of the check, you sign your name there, right? That's what we call total commitment. And you give this check to the Lord. Lord, this is my check. Okay, postdate a check or whatever check, but I sign my name on it. You can cash this check anytime you want. And after I joined FABC, I got married. I remember, hey, Angela, you and I, we both commit ourselves. So I remember my check. Now I sing. I talk to the Lord. This check is not just Edwin Sang. I should put my wife's name on it. Edwin and Angela Sang. That is the amount. Okay? And we pay payable to the Lord. And we sign our name on the check. So there will be Edwin and Angela. And after 4 years, my son, we have a son called Matthew. Wow, it is, you know, I'm the only son of the family for 3 generations. So now God gave me a son. How great it is. Lord, this is all of your grace. So I said, Lord, yes, this is yours. So I said, not only myself, not only Angela, but my son as well. So I said, Lord, my check should be Edwin, Angela, and Matthew. Okay, sign my name. This is your check. Use us. So I dedicate, you know, baby dedication. We all used to have that. And we dedicate our child, Matthew, to the Lord. So we brought him up and, you know, at a church environment, da-da-da. And after 4 years, my daughter, I have a daughter. Wow, you know, being a father, daughter is very different from a son. So I remember my check. I said, Lord, I give you everything. I gave my career, being an engineer, I give it up. And I give my wife, Angela, she's willing to devote herself. And I'm willing to give my son, use him if you want to use him, okay? And now, a daughter, Lord, can you spare one part for me? This is my daughter, she's mine. Okay, you probably understand. A father will treasure the daughter more than treasuring the son. And I said, Lord, this is the only thing. This is the only thing I want to keep it for myself. And she's Evelyn. She's mine. So as time went on, she grew up in U of Alberta. All of a sudden, one night, my son called me. He works in New York. Dad, I got a call from Evelyn. She asked me some very strange question. I don't know why, I'm a little scared. So I was in Toronto that day, that evening. I was having an FABC banquet, okay, a fundraising banquet here in Toronto. And that evening, I said, what's happening? What did Evelyn said? And my son said, Dad, Evelyn said, ask me a question. If a Christian commits suicide, will he be able to go to heaven? And I was scared. I don't know how to answer. And after listening to this, I was scared too. Okay, so I immediately called my daughter in Alberta. She didn't answer. Okay, after a while, my son called again. Dad, I really have to tell you, Evelyn just called me. She said she wanted to finish her life. That was her fourth year university, about to graduate. She had a very serious depression. She wanted to kill herself. And was totally shocked. I have 5 more minutes, then I have to walk up the stage and preach at that fundraising banquet. And sitting next to me was a bunch of Toronto pastors, and you know that I was, you know, totally shocked. And they prayed for me. And on the next day, I immediately flew to Alberta, and I saw my daughter. She's pale. She's totally shocked herself, and she was blank. Okay, I said, Dad, I don't want to leave. Okay, it was so painful. Every day, every morning when I woke up, It was heavy, just like heavy storm, thunderstorm and rain, and keep telling me that, Evelyn, you'll be happier after you finish your life. Keep telling her, why should I do that? I was shocked. I said, I don't know. Although I'm a pastor, I don't know everything. So I took her out. I cut off her education and moved her back to Vancouver. And I said, Evelyn, please. The doctor told me that you are not allowed to leave your daughter alone by herself for more than 4 hours. I said, well, I got to work. My wife had to work, and we have to work. And how can I always be with her? Make long story short. And one day I told my daughter, I said, Evelyn, would you promise Daddy don't hurt yourself? And you know how my daughter answered? She said, Dad, I cannot promise you that I will not hurt myself, but I can promise you that if I hurt myself, I will call you before I hurt myself. That's even worse, right? But I have to face this reality. That evening, I was very upset. I took a shower and I knelt down. I said, Lord, now I know. I thought I have everything. I thought I have a lot of things that you like. I just want to keep my daughter, okay? Just one thing I want to keep it for myself. But it turned out that I cannot even keep my daughter. I thought I can protect my daughter, but I tell you that I cannot protect my daughter because it is her life, not my life. So I said, Lord, I just found out that nothing I can have. I have to surrender 100% totally. Now, Evelyn, she's yours. If you have to take her away, then I have to submit myself. But I know that, and I repent, that I cannot keep things for myself. Just like those Israelites, they crossed the river. Before they crossed the river, Joshua walked among them and told them, today God is going to perform a miracle and you are going to clean yourself. You cannot bring your sin and your burden to this promised land. It is a new land. It is a new life. Okay? You have to repent. You have to be clean. So as much as we serve in the Lord, in the church, we have to always keep ourselves to the Lord. Always remind that surrender ourselves to the Lord. Before I close this, one more thing I want to share was that when they crossed this river, and the Lord told Joshua, tell these 12 tribes leader, ask the leader to go back to the water, and take one stone and carry back and put it on the entrance of your tent. Okay? You remember? Well, I think you just read this, right? And I was wondering, why? Why do you want these people after they cross the river, they have to go back, the leader have to go back to the river and pick up the stone, and it's not a little rock. It's a stone because Joseph said, put it on your shoulder and carry it back to the dry land and put it on the entrance of your door of your tent. Why do you do that? He said, because by putting this stone on the tent on the entrance, when your descendant, your children, when they see this stone, they will ask, hey Dad, what is this? And then you have a chance to tell your descendant that how God's grace and how God led us through this wilderness and through this river and receive this new land. So that is the purpose of the stone. And if you remember in the Bible, it records that when these people, they crossed the river, the Bible stressed on the word that when these people, these 2 million people crossing the river, they cross it hurriedly. So that means, some other translation, they cross the river hastily. That is, hey, hurry up, let's go. Hey, son, don't. Come on, let's go, move. Because the water can come anytime, right? So they rush through the river. Okay, so in our life, we're always rushing through a lot of our, you know, of our ministry. Like I remember every year at the at the New Year Eve, we have the Thanksgiving sharing night. Okay, a lot of churches they have this, and you know, around the circle, and we share the testimony for the last year. We give thanks to the Lord, and I remember those. We have each one of us holding a candle, and others sharing, pass a candle to the next, you know, and we like to share till around 12 o'clock, and wow, yeah, countdown, you know, something like that. And at that sharing night, I always heard that there are some mumbling behind me. Hey, the candle is coming. It's your turn. You share. No, not me. And the husband said, no, the wife said, no, you always said you're the head of the family. Of course, you share, not me. So they, you know, pass this handle. The husband and wife, they're struggling. Who's going to share? It seems that they have nothing to say. Okay, for the year, they pass the year hastily. Okay, and finally, the candle comes and they said, oh yeah, it's my turn to share. Well, I have something to share. It was about 5 years ago, You know, seems that you can only remember 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but you cannot pick out those things that is worth to share in the last year, in the last 12 months. So I think it is good that we have to always remember how God's guidance and how God's abundance and His provision guide us through in the last 12 months. Just like these people, they crossed the river hastily. They probably can't remember what's happening. They just get out of this dangerous place, get out of this river, and let's settle in the dry land. Okay, that's all we can. But the Lord said, no, through this time, you have to remember how God guide you, how God save you. And this is something that we have to learn from Joshua. And I hope that each one of us always spend some time to meditate on God's guidance and be thankful, and always ask myself, am I surrendering myself wholeheartedly? Don't save up something for yourself. You cannot. I remember a couple of weeks ago, my wife, my mother, she's 98 years old, in out in a senior home, and all of a sudden she got caught. She had a COVID. Okay, and she didn't have any flu, any COVID shots, vaccinations, none, because she's too old. And before then, I was with her 3 nights a week. Those 3 nights, I slept next to her with a foldable bed, and because she's too old, she need people be around her 24 hours. But the nanny, she cannot come every day. So 3 nights a week, I spend my the nighttime with my mom. And that particular day, when she got COVID, the doctor said, no, she cannot go to hospital. We have nothing for her. So she just stay at the senior home all by herself. You are not allowed to get close to her. She are not allowed to get out of her room. So I said, a 98 years old lady, and she cannot even walk by herself. And you ask her to, keep her in the room all by herself. Who's going to look after her? No, we cannot afford that. You know, she cannot get out of her room, and you're not allowed to go in. So all of a sudden, I thought, that mom is mine. She's my mother. I spend a lot of time. I treasure him. I'm willing to be with her all the time. And all of a sudden said, no, you are not allowed. I cannot protect my mom. I cannot help my mom. All of a sudden, my mom is not my mom. She need to be by herself. And a senior home will have somebody to look after her. So oftentimes we thought we have a lot, but actually we have nothing. When God said, everything is the Lord's. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. We know that you're the Lord of Almighty. You're the Lord that will perform miracles after miracles. You're the one that can change Joshua from a nobody to a great leader. You can also change each one of us. When we surrender ourselves and be humble, you will use us. And Lord, we ask for your blessing and ask your spirits be among each one of us so that we are willing to surrender ourselves. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.